Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to It's Your Funeral, the podcast where we interview guests about the most important day of their afterlives. My name's Barnaby Slater, comedian, writer, and host of the Almost Famous podcast. Let me introduce you to my co-host, who will be helping me get to the bottom of the narcissism involved in wondering what your own funeral might be like. So hello, Sam Hammond, aka Vom Cruz. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you, Barney. How are you?
I'm really good. Tell the audience, Sam, for anyone that doesn't know about you, and particularly your Instagram page, Vom Cruz, very successful. I mean, we've been friends for years, but I've been blown away by the success of your page.
Well, basically, I'm a failed musician.
Soon to be failed podcaster.
Yeah, no, I was in a band called Swiss Lips, and we released an album, and then not many people bought it, and then we broke up, and I'd started sort of promoting the band using memes, because it seems that people care more about memes than music these days. So I'd started doing that, and then I was left with this Instagram page when the band broke up, and I just sort of carried it on. It's like a dirty little hobby. Yeah. So I carried it on, and I just came up with the name Vom Cruz one day. I can't remember really why. I think I was taking the piss out of Tom Cruise a lot, because he's an odd chap. And then,
in your memes?
Yeah, I was just...
Because the guy that you take the piss out of in the most is definitely Wayne Lineker.
Yeah, or Paul Hollywood, he gets it a lot as well. But yeah, you know, apologies if they're listening.
let's hope so.
Yeah.
So does that make you a meme curator? I believe that's now a job for Gen Zs and Zoomers, millennials.
I don't think I'm either of those things, but I guess I make memes, and I definitely curate horrible content that I find on the internet and sort of post it. It's like a dirty little museum.
Yeah, for any of you guys who haven't been on at Vom Cruz at Instagram, check it out. He's very, very funny. I should say that in this first episode, we're not actually going to be interviewing anyone about their ideal funeral, as we will in future episodes, but just kind of discussing between ourselves what made us want to do this podcast and our own thoughts on funerals and death. It's probably worth me asking you, Sam, what made you kind of interested in co-hosting this podcast, other than, of course, us being friends and me asking you? But I would guess, because when I said to you about the idea, you have also, as I have, fantasized about the idea of kind of being a fly on the wall at your own funeral.
I've just got nothing better to do, to be honest with you. There's a global pandemic and I've not got any work. No, I have some sort of fascination with death. Not so much with funerals. I'm somebody who hasn't really ever cared about the idea of a funeral. I'm like quite happy for you to just, if I die now, just lob me off the tower, or just put me in the bins behind Tesco. I've been going on a personal mission to destroy my own ego for quite a while, and I think a funeral is a massive ego ceremony, and I just don't think you really need one, you know.
So I think that's a really good point on the subject at large. Obviously, the one person who's not at your funeral is yourself, and yet people spend a lot of time organizing and you know, often writing down for their family members how they want their funeral to be.
Yeah.
And like you said, yeah, that's a huge ego thing. But what do you think that is? Is that people thinking, I want people to remember me after I've died, and this is going to be like the last hurrah, and it's going to be like I said in the intro, the greatest day of my afterlife?
I think so. I think it's just part of our... egos, and that's a natural thing, because life is just a bit of a crazy idea. It's like being, we're all thrown out of a aeroplane without a parachute and we're all just hurtling towards the ground together, waiting. The final destination is the floor,
yeah,
the death. And we, you know, life is just that, but you pay a load of tax along the way and argue with loads of dickheads and that's it, isn't it? You know, so it's...
And make podcasts, endless yeah, fucking podcasts.
Yeah, and it's a long way down, but it can, I don't know, it feels like, I think people want to be remembered, even though very few of us will be remembered in 150 years, you know, that's the reality.
Yeah.
But we want to think that we will be, and that's fine, I think. And I've just to sort of engage with this podcast idea, I have thought about a funeral for myself because... you know, that's the topic, but it don't expect any serious answers from me. It's
gonna be I'm hoping for none, for no serious answers. I do want this to be a lighthearted little, but if it strays into serious morbidness at times, I also don't mind that. I'm a personal fan of like the world's biggest disaster days and death. Yeah. I love talking about death and stuff, and often people look at me askance when I try and talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I said to you before we started, I've spoken to a few people about this idea, and every person that I've spoken to has said, oh yeah, I've thought about my own funeral quite a lot. And the reason I started this is because, you know, and actually we're both performers or come from a performing background, and definitely my ego has something to do with this, I think, is I've thought quite a lot, almost in like a 3D visual way in my head as to what my funeral would look like. And it just got me thinking, I wonder if everyone else thinks like that as well.
Yeah. What does it look like? Because every funeral I've ever been to looks exactly the fucking same. It's, you know, and that's why, that's I think what put me off them as well.
Yeah, I think...
I've not been to that many, to be fair.
Until you mentioned being just put out by the bins, I think I had a traditional look in my head, but now I'm thinking, yeah, maybe I'll just be put out by the bins and get one last sunburn. But weirdly in my head, as a non-religious person, when I think about my funeral, I think it would be in a church, bizarrely. Yeah. I think it's very unlikely I will ever actually write down what I want for my funeral. Mm. So if any of my loved ones are still around, like my mum... hopefully won't be, but my brother potentially, I guess, even though he's a bit older than me, maybe it would just be easier to be in a church. I don't know. I went to my grandparents' funerals. They were in a field, actually.
That's so
you can get it. You can get it done anywhere.
My nana, she actually worked in a crematorium as the organist, and she worked there until she was in her 90s. And I said to her once, like, is it not depressing, this job, nana? She was an organist her whole life. And she said, well, it was, because she lived quite old. She said, well, it was until about 20 years ago when all my friends start coming past me. You know, she said, I'm not bothered anymore. It's fine. But I'm sure she said to me, or someone else said to me, that they basically have like a massive pile of ashes at the bottom of the oven.
Yeah.
And they just scoop some of them out and they go, that's your grandma. You know, like,
you know? So it's actually a mix of many different grandmas.
I think, I don't know if this is true, but that and maybe whatever they, I don't know, are they using wood or, I'm guessing it's gas, I don't know.
I mean, I think it's very important that as two people hosting a podcast about funerals, we clearly know nothing at all about either funerals or crematoriums. Yeah. But the fact that your nan worked in one, I think, makes you qualified, heavily qualified.
Yeah, well, there was a guy in the village I grew up in who, he left some notes for his friends, like, you know, when I die, I want this to happen. He was called, I think he was called Psychedelic Sid. There was a lot of weird characters in
this
village.
Did he know he was going to die? Is that?
I don't. Well, I mean, we all know we're going to, but it wasn't like imminent, I don't think. But he never looked that healthy. And
I mean, with a name like Psychedelic Sid, I feel like.
I think it was him. It might have been a different guy. But anyway, this guy left a note that he wanted to be cremated, and then he wanted his friends to go up into the woods near where we lived and roll him up in a joint, and it put up a few of his ashes in a joint and smoke it. And supposedly they did. I don't know if it's an urban myth, but supposedly they smoked him in a joint. And if you asked me to do that, I'd just tell you to fuck off.
I feel like what that made me think initially is how different what it must have been like where you were growing up to me in Surrey, where not only when I was young did I not know what a joint was, but the idea of smoking someone who had died.
Yeah, it's quite scary.
I mean, it's there's something romantic about that.
Yeah, I just don't really want to smoke my mate. No, I'm not ready for that. I don't know. So I don't think you'd taste very nice. So your ashes, you know, it's not...
I think when I think about my funeral, I think in general, and this might be kind of telling about how much I, or what I think about in my real life, is I think a lot about like how many of my exes will be there.
Right. Well, just to like spit on your grade.
I mean, in my head, there, like in the like I said, church that weirdly my funeral is taking place in, and then maybe they're in a pew somehow all along one pew, and kind of I want to see from afar like who's crying, who's not, like you said, who's spitting at the coffin as it goes by. But then I've also thought quite a lot about the wake, and you know, do I need to start saving now to put some money behind for a free bar?
I don't want a wake. I've decided. I think we need to get rid of wakes. Every funeral I've been to, the wake is just nobody wants to be there. Everyone's sat in clothes that they're uncomfortable in. It's maudlin. It's like there's just someone eyeing up a sausage roll on the buffet.
The buffets. Every wake I've been
so
to
depressing.
Are so depressing. It's very like Morrison's advert.
Oh yeah, it's totally that. It's horrible. Don't do that. Just. When they're coming into the funeral, give them a slice of pizza and a beer so that they're all right. And then that's it. Get it all in one. Combine the two parts. And then they can go home afterwards.
I went to my auntie's funeral last year. And this is where my ego comes in, which is like, we all get on in each side of my family. But we're not like close. They lived up in Liverpool and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there. And as people got up to do various readings and stuff, there was a part of me that was like fucked off that they hadn't asked me to do any.
Yeah, well, you're a trained public speaker.
You should have been comparing the whole thing. Well, that leads me back to my grandma. When I said earlier that my grandma and my grandpa's funeral was in a field, that's because they weren't religious. So we were offered like a humanist, whatever they're called, like version of a vicar.
Yeah.
And we had the choices to where it could be. So we actually had it in the field where they were buried.
That's amazing.
And when I turned up on the day, I didn't know this. My mum and her sisters had organized this. But there was a mic stand with a microphone, and we'd all been offered the chance to go up and say some words. So because of my stand-up background, without even realizing, I like whipped the mic off the stand, moved the stand to the side, and did a tight 5 minutes.
That's where I would have done like Angels by Robbie Williams, like totally. A cappella.
That is actually, Angels is up there with the most played songs at funerals.
Of course. I used to work in a record shop when I was 16, and in Preston, of all godforsaken places, and this woman came in one day and she was like, "Have you got Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves?" And I was like, "No." And someone was like, "I think we've got it on like a compilation CD somewhere." So I was like, "I went and looked for it and found it on a compilation." And she's like, "Will you put it on, please?" And I was like, "Yeah." So I put
in
this
in the store.
Yeah, in the shop. I was like, "This is fucking weird." Anyway, yeah, I put it on, and then she just stood there and bawled her eyes out in front of me. And I was like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "This was my mum's favorite song, and we're playing it at her funeral next week." And I was like, "Oh God, I'm sorry," but I was like, "Why are you coming in here doing this?"
Wait, tell me she bought that compilation CD. Yeah, otherwise, she's just going in there to.
She was buying it for the funeral, but she wanted to check it was. I don't know. If it's like a performance art piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was like 16. I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
I think that's a perfect example of exactly what I'm talking about with this subject matter of the podcast and stuff, mm-hmm. which is I just think that's hilarious.
Yeah, like, I was trying not to laugh.
Like, stories of death and how people react to death and grief and stuff. Of course, it's the hardest thing to deal with, but also sometimes you just have to say it's hilarious. And there's an example that I just thought of. When my grandparents come into this quite a lot, but my aforementioned grandfather, when he was in a care home when he died, or a hospice,
mm-hmm.
and had a carer, this was up in Scotland. And when we were at the wake of his funeral, after his funeral, this crazy Scottish carer woman started showing round a selfie she'd taken with my grandpa's dead body.
What?
That she'd taken just after he died. And she's like, "Oh, look at him, doesn't he look so peaceful?" And I'm just like, "What the fuck are you doing?
Psycho."
It's completely mad. But now, you know, even at the time at the wake, I thought it was hilarious.
Well, yeah, you've got to laugh at tragedy, haven't you?
I think you do.
It's a way of dealing with the horrors of life. I've always done it, and it's therapy to laugh at things, you know.
But some people really don't, and that's the problem, isn't it? And I guess that's probably why I'm bringing it up, is I do feel like, especially in the hashtag 2020 cancel culture days, there may be people who see the title of this podcast or hear what we're talking about and just go, "Oh, you can't talk about that." But I think, you know, there's room for people to just feel appalling and negative and down about death. But there has to be room for, like you said, just that way of laughing at it, laughing at tragedy.
This stuff interests me because I think in this country we have a really sort of stunted, weird relationship with death that is maybe not that healthy. You know, I think we fear it too much. And you know, in Mauritius, they like dig up grandma every year. Have you heard about this?
No.
I think it's Mauritius, but they every single year for like 10 years after somebody dies, they dig them up and they
what?
Yeah, and they put the corpse on the table and they have a big banquet with grandma and then they bury them again and then they dig them up again. Once a year.
That can't be right. Because I always was under the impression that as soon as you get buried, you start getting eaten by worms.
You do. So she's gradually decaying. And each year they bring her up, she's more and more fucked. But it's true. But honest to God, Google this. It's real. But it's because their whole notion of death isn't ours. I was watching this Carl Jung interview about death. And he was saying that like, death isn't something we should fear, as we know for a fact that our psyche or our soul, or like our consciousness, doesn't abide by the rules of like space and time. It's confined within our bodies now. This is one way of looking at it anyway. So for all we know, our consciousness could float off into the ether when we die. Our like, you know, our internal being could do that. It could go somewhere else. It could go to like the, I don't know, some people believe it goes to like an astral plane or something. But for all we know, it could. So, you know, us fearing death, actually, I think will put a real bummer on the end of your life. You'll just be like, for the last 20 years, you'll be like, well, I'm going to die soon anyway. You know, rather than, he said you should see it as a goal that we're all working towards.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So that you enjoy each day. And he said, almost imagine that you're going to live for 1,000 years. And keep just, you're just heading towards this goal where you might just fly off and your consciousness might go somewhere else. There's nothing to say that won't happen.
I feel like that's the kind of thing that a lot of guys probably spiel out on dates to try and get girls to go to bed with them.
We are all just floating in space. We are stardust.
Do you follow Beam Me Up Softboy?
Yeah, I do. I only started the other day though because so my friend Rio sent me one that her friend had submitted. She'd had like a text off a guy saying like, can't wait to just like do some... I've just got a new record player in my room. I want to put some really old records on and do lines and think about fucking you. And then like it's something awful like that. Yeah. And she submitted it to it and it went on the page. And so she was like, look at this, my mate's done it. So yeah, but that made me laugh. So I followed it. Yeah, it's very, very good.
So for anyone listening who doesn't follow Beam Me Up Softboy on Instagram, do. And Softboy is quite a new thing to me that a friend of mine introduced me to. Which is...
Are we soft boys?
Well, that's what's so hilarious about soft boys is I often wonder whether I am at least a slight bit soft boy. So the idea of a soft boy is the kind of guy who, whilst trying to get girls, basically will say really highbrow stuff, intellectual stuff, use long words when it's unnecessary. And on Beam Me Up Soft Boy, as Sam was saying, they screen grab stuff often from like Tinder or Hinge or whatever that guys have said. And it's often like, you know, yeah, like what Sam said is a good example. But it's often stuff like, you know, I want to think a great deal with you about the space-time continuum and how we fit into the feelings of how we fit into the
There
the
is
universe.
No reason why we shouldn't have sex right now. We could die anytime. We are just cosmic stardust flying in space, colliding for this one moment. Let's have sex.
You've got, yeah, exactly. All of it is about having sex.
Yeah.
And I think the one I read earlier today was, yeah, very similar to that. It was like, you know, the physical form is so important when it comes to chemistry and connection. And I think a good example of how we should feel about our physical form may be helped by if we send photos of our bodies to each other right now before we've even met and stuff like that.
Men are absolute scum, aren't we?
Men are total scum. But a good question from you before that was, are we soft boys? I don't think I'm a soft boy because I don't use those tactics. I'm quite opposite in that.
We're probably too old to be soft boys, to be honest.
There's definitely
we're
that
old
as
boys.
Well. Yeah, I think it might be more generational, millennial, Gen Z stuff in the most part. But, you know, I definitely can tell you that I went on a date when I was at university and took the book A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking with me to look like I was much smarter than I was.
Did so you turn up 5 minutes early and were you just sat there reading it?
I turned up 5 minutes early and was also there like in a different space-time continuum. Yeah.
Brilliant.
How do you think you will die? It's worth asking.
That's one of the great exciting mysteries of life, isn't it? If I drink all of the gin I brought here tonight, I might die on my bike on the way home. You don't know, do you? So
at least you know you'll be going fast. Sam's got one of those mad motorized bikes that you just get, let me go on it once, you just go on it and it takes you.
Yeah, it's like Kit from Knight Rider.
Yeah,
I just drape myself on it when I'm drunk and say, take me home, sir.
I think if I were to put a bet on how I die, and definitely one of my ex-girlfriends who's a real foodie is always taking the piss out of me about this, because my diet is basically 99% pizza.
Yeah.
Probably some kind of coronary based on that.
You look really healthy though. So
I've done a bit of running during lockdown.
Right, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it's fine.
Are you do you find yourself doing things as part of your real life without noticing that could inadvertently cause death? So for instance, texting whilst riding your bike, whilst crossing the road.
Oh yeah.
Are you a bad driver when you have a car?
I'm quite a reckless driver sometimes and partied a lot in the past.
The police are here, you can hear it in the background, just to just to talk about your reckless driving.
Partying.
Yeah,
I was in a band for a long time, so there was a lot of debauchery involved then.
A lot of extracurricular activity.
I probably got the heart of an 80-year-old man. I don't know, but yeah. So
my dad was in a band. Was in a band,
yeah.
And then in the record industry, and so partook in a lot of extracurricular activity, mm-hmm. aka cocaine. And my mum, so he now has dementia, and my mum is absolutely positively sure that the link between cocaine and dementia is huge, and that it just hasn't really been talked about a great deal. And she's very anti-drug, so she would think that.
Yeah, and she obviously, I know that your parents broke up, but she still obviously would be very upset that your dad's ill, I'm guessing. So, you know, she might be projecting that onto it, but who knows? There might be some truth in that. It's definitely not good for you. No. You
know, but is it worth, I wonder if you know, my dad's still with us, but he can barely, he doesn't really know who you are, but I wonder if, you know, if I'd have been able to have the conversation with him 10 years ago and said, was all the fun time, party time worth you at 70 getting early onset dementia?
Well, maybe he would. I don't.
Probably was.
Well, there's that famous.
Because what can you do after you're 70 anyway?
Yeah, really, just withering away.
Sit in a chair.
Was it George Best? He said. He said. I spent 10 million or something on women and drugs and booze, and the rest I wasted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, I don't know. I don't know.
There was a famous quote about him as well by someone, I can't remember who, said, would you have run around so much if you weren't so thirsty, or something like that.
Yeah.
But he's a legend. I mean, funnily enough, my mum's so kind of anti-drugs and, you know, like I said, the link between my dad and dementia, whatever, but she still waxes lyrical about Georgie Best. She's like, Georgie Best, the best footballer I've ever seen. What a handsome guy as well.
It's he was the full package, wasn't he? I mean, a bit of a wife beater, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but great footballer.
I mean, that immediately, you're talking about him as a wife beater, which is so true.
I think that's part of his alcoholism, but not excusing it, obviously.
But it immediately made me think again of cancel culture. Why do you think, you know, everyone's getting cancelled now for what they do kind of now or in the previous 10, 15 years. But John Lennon, famous wife beater.
Yeah.
No one is kind of trying to cancel him in the same way.
I've seen people
is there like a
slugging him off. I have.
I've seen it a little bit, but not a big campaign like that.
Well, he's dead. Can you cancel a dead person?
Is it easier basically not to be cancelled if you're dead, I think is what I'm asking.
Yeah. I think that's the only positive about being dead. No one can cancel you.
Savile got post-mortem cancelled for sure.
Kick a man when he's down.
Well, Savile, of course, he had his gravestone removed.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
yeah.
I think that was rightly so because it was a big pompous, like, I believe it was like a big, you know, like almost like a tomb to him, like a big, you know, hero. And the sick thing was everyone knew he was doing that for years and they just let him do it. And then... Yeah, and
things were different back then, Sam. That's the big look. That's like the tagline of anyone from
kids raping kids was okay back then if you're on telly. No, fuck the BBC and fuck Savile.
Some of those documentaries are scary. And of course, Savile also heavily rumored to have kept his mother's body in the flat, he called her the Duchess.
It's just psycho, isn't it? It's the film. You know, it's what's it called? Yeah, the Hitchcock film. That's exactly what he did.
He was completely mad. I rewatched that Louis Theroux documentary with him recently.
I think Louis has a lot of guilt about it.
He really does. Yeah, because he became friends with him.
Yeah, he did.
The reason I mentioned the gravestone thing is I think in terms of what we're talking about, in terms of the ego thing, if you choose your own gravestone, that's something that's important to you in terms of your legacy. Do you think you'd have a gravestone or it doesn't go with you being round the back of the bins? Just
no, I'm not arsed. Not everyone can have a gravestone, can they? We've not got enough room, so. What's the point? If I leave any money to, I don't know if I'll ever have children. I don't imagine so. But if I do, you know, if I got any money for them, I don't want it to be wasted on a piece of stone.
No.
You know, I'd rather them go on holiday.
What's the point of gravestones?
It's so that someone can go and see you and remember you. But they could do that. They could scatter your ashes on a tree and go and see your tree. Or
no, that's it. My ex-girlfriend Hannah, her mum unfortunately died.
Right.
And she was only about 14. But when I was going out with her, we would go and visit her mum's. She didn't have a gravestone, she had a tree.
Yeah, it's really nicer, isn't it?
To see something growing out of the place where she was buried.
There's a really cool thing that I heard a podcast about. Do you know the band KLF?
Yeah.
So they have started a thing where you can sign up to it. And I forgot what it's called, but they're building a pyramid in Liverpool out of bricks. And each one of the bricks is filled with the ashes of somebody who's died. So you can pay 99 quid and you can do it now. You sign up and when you die, you'll be cremated and your ashes will be fired in a kiln into a brick and your name will be written on it. And they've already laid the foundation and now they're building it slowly. And it's like a pyramid. And I think it's in, I forgot where it is. It's somewhere in Liverpool and they're doing
it. It's on the Cavern Club.
Yeah. I think it's in, I can't remember. But anyway, they're doing it. Yeah,
I'm just going to shout things out places from
there. Yeah, somewhere.
Chillwall.
Yeah, it's somewhere in Liverpool. But anyway, they're building this pyramid of...
It's a really nice idea.
It's really nice. And actually, everyone who's signed up for it now, I'll send you the podcast. It's really good. But everyone who's signed up for it, what they do, each time somebody who's signed up for it dies, there's been like five people now who's died. They all go and they all have a celebration there when they put it down, the stone down, and they all have a party.
Yeah.
And it sounds really joyous and actually really nice. And I thought it'd be good. I was like, I'm kind of up for this.
Mm.
But then I remembered that I'm a Man United fan and I can't be in Liverpool. So I was like, I'm not doing it. I'll start my own.
If in doubt, there's life, death, taxes, and your football team that you support.
Yeah.
Just before we finish, I want to do just some quick fire questions, just because when we start interviewing other people, I want to offer them these quick fire questions as well. So I'll just do kind of five or six of these.
Yeah.
And although you've said you're not sure you want a funeral, I'm just going to, you know.
I've had to think about it.
Have a think about it. So ideal funeral venue.
It's the pub, isn't it? The pub's the best thing about being British. We have pubs, you know. I love other countries. Like go to Canada now and then, and it's one of my favorite places in the world. But they don't have a good pub.
Yeah,
you know. So the pub's got to be the vibe.
So Boozer, and will you stick to the Morrison's buffet, or will you offer something a little more cordon bleu?
Yeah, no. Like I said, I think it's all got to be in one because I don't think we don't need a wake. It's all got to be a combined thing, quite compact, an hour. Just an hour out of everyone's life. I hate having a birthday party. I hate putting people out. I hate fuss.
Fun.
I hate fuss, so I'm just like, get it all done, over and done with. As you come in, there's just some pizza on the side. Have a slice if you want. Have a beer. Have any drink, you know.
This is all in keeping with your mission to delete your own ego. Yeah, I like it. Will there be a dress code?
No, wear whatever you want, except for you. If I die before you, you have to wear a full Man United kit with shin pads.
I actually don't mind that because as a Spurs fan, Man United, I've always seen as... I think Man United fans and Spurs fans have always had a kind of okay relationship because we try and, or until Mourinho, we try and play the right kind of football. And we both hate Arsenal.
We're football cousins.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
How would you want the congregation at your funeral to react? Would you want it to be like a sing-along or tears? Everyone's upset.
I don't really care, but I would like, in my will, to offer like two prizes. Like maybe like, well, no, a prize for someone who cries the most.
Yeah.
Like, you can adjudicate it if you're there, right? So whoever cries the most, they can have a prize. Maybe
I love this. I love a quiz.
Maybe a really good prize. Like, and nobody knows, so that, you know, we can't tell if anyone's. Yeah.
Well, we
I might have just ruined the surprise.
What we know is that you know quite a few actors who might well play very hard in this game to win.
Yeah, so they win a prize, and whoever cries the least or looks like they don't give a fuck at all, they inherit my evil cat.
Fair enough. Have you thought at all about the music that would play at your funeral? Would it be your own music?
No, that'd be far too egotistical. I often thought when I was younger that the Beach Boys are my favorite band ever, and I've often thought that there's an instrumental track on Pet Sounds called "Let's Go Away for a While," and obviously the title is quite fitting. You know, "Let's Go Away for a While," and the music feels quite, the chord changes and the movement of it feels almost like a transcendence piece. It feels like you're going somewhere, and it's like, it feels like it would be it always felt like the perfect music to be like pushed into the flames.
Yeah,
do
nice.
You know, like, so yeah, I think in all seriousness, if I had one, I would like that to be played as I say goodbye.
Yeah.
And then maybe like a pre-recorded message comes through the PA where I just go, bye.
As awkward as is possible. Yeah. And final question, how do you want to be remembered?
He was all right. Criminally underrated by the music industry. No. Just as an all right guy. To my friends and people who know me closely, they're the only people I want to remember me. And those ones just to say, yeah, he was all right.
All right, Sam, I'm really looking forward to getting some guests on so we can ask them, because I think we're going to get a really interesting cross-section, especially because I think a lot of the people that we know are kind of performery types as well and will probably be far more egotistic, more on my levels of egotism.
We know a lot of show-offs.
We know a lot of show-offs and we'll definitely get them on. Is there anything you want to plug anymore? Like talk about where people can hear your music? Obviously at Von Cruz, as we mentioned.
I'm an artist called Neverlander. That's sort of my current project that I've been doing, which is a solo project. So yeah, check that out on Spotify. I'm also in a band called Baby Teeth, which is a really sort of interesting rock band. Check those out if you can be asked.
Yeah.
If not, then don't.
Guys, please do subscribe to It's Your Funeral. Drop us a comment and a rating in Apple Podcasts if that's where you're listening to it. Of course, if you're listening on Spotify or Deezer or wherever, or Acast, that's also fine. Also, have a listen to my other podcast, Almost Famous, if you like hearing from people who either were related to famous people or are famous about their lives and how it's affected their life, love, and mental health, that kind of bollocks. And we'll be back next time with another episode of It's Your Funeral. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.